Well, today, if you missed last week, I want to make one more quick note to you. If you missed last week and you wanted to know more about the mission trip to Brazil, we had an information meeting last week at several interested in signing up to look at that. And today, if you would like to know more about that, Christy, can you raise your hand in the very middle section? If you missed that meeting and you want to know more about that mission trip, make sure you see Christy today before you leave and let her know that you missed that meeting, but you would like to know that information about the Brazil trip. It's going to be an awesome trip. I don't want you to miss out. If you can go and find it in your finances and work schedule to go, I know it's going to be tight, but I guarantee you God will richly bless you. And I always come back so encouraged from every mission trip I've ever been on. And I'm looking forward to this mission trip going with you. Well, today we're going to start a new series that we are calling Vision. Simply Vision. It's kind of given vision as the statement for the series. And at first hand, you may already be thinking, all right, what's he mean by vision? And I've already presented to you a present directional vision that I believe that God has for us this year, some goals that God has for us here at Destiny Church. We've already ordered 100 chairs this week. Praise God. Yeah, thank you for that offering last week. We ordered 100 new chairs this week, and we believe we're going to get those chairs in before Easter and get those set up in time for the Easter season and really hit the ground running. We believe those chairs are not going to last us a long time, but I believe that we're going to fill those things up quickly as we continue to show God's love and reach out to the community and as you take your faith with you and live it every day. But we believe at the end of those chairs, when they're filled up, we're going to go to a second service and start a second service. And so we believe that God has got a vision for us and where we're headed as a church. Some other things we're going to be doing, I talked about the video and the video casting and what we're going to do with the live internet feed of our church. But some other things we're going to be doing. But today is not about that kind of vision. This is about the vision. If I pray about this statement, I tell you, this has been an evolving thing. That when you start a church, many times you haven't had the vision of what you're going to look like, but it kind of evolves as you move along and you mature. You kind of see, God, what are you really calling us to do? God, what are you really asking of us to be and to do? And I've been asking this statement and praying about this statement, and I believe one thing that we need to make it simple, that'd be something that all of us can remember. If someone asks you, what's Destiny Church about? You can say, well, Destiny Church has a vision to do this, and you'll be able to say what it is. And today we're going to look and talk about this in this series. We're going to talk about what is the vision that God has for your life. What is the vision that here at Destiny Church that we have to see every one of us spiritually in our life to have? What is our goal? Some of them may be a mission statement. Maybe even classify as a mission statement or a purpose statement or a vision statement. Those things kind of all run hand in hand as churches. You've heard all those different phrases used before. But we believe today that God has called us to something. And we just have simply defined it as this. A Destiny Church exists to reach people. I'm sorry, to teach people. Destiny Church exists to teach people to what? To passionately love God. To passionately love God. That should be our heart's desire. That's the first part of the statement. That I believe that God has called us to passionately love Him, that God has called us to genuinely love people, to have a genuine love for people. Get that up to the next point, guys? To genuinely love people and to teach others to do the same. Simple fact, to teach others to do the same. As we look at this, I believe God is calling us to have a passionate love for God. I mean, I believe in our heart that God has called us to bring and challenge people to have a genuine love in your heart, that you want to grow in your relationship with God, that you want to walk with God every day in your everyday life, whether it be at work, at school, at college, wherever you're at, in your home, that you have a genuine passion. There's a passion there that you are passionately pursuing the things of Christ, that you are passionately in love with Him, and because you're passionately in love with Him, it's overflowing in other areas of your life, and because you are passionately in love with Him, that God has given you a genuine love for people, that you should love the people, not only in this room, but the people who are not in this room, that God gives you a genuine love for people who are not in here. It's one thing to have a genuine love for people that are already here, who believe like you, who look like you, who talk like you. But it's a genuine love for people that no matter what they look like, no matter what the color of their skin is, no matter what their social class may be, no matter where they come from, that we have a genuine love for people. And we have a genuine love for each other. And so I believe that comes only through God. When you fall in love with God, you can't help but love the things that He loves. And God loves people. Do you believe that today? God loves people. God loves all people. Let me say that again. God loves all people. And today, if you want to have the heart of God, you want to be passionate in love with God, you get what God is genuinely, He loves people, and He wants us to do the same. And then He's called us to make disciples, to teach others to do the same. And so where do we find this at? Where do we found this at? This is found in the scripture in Matthew 22, verses 37 and 38. Jesus was asked this question. He said, hey, great teacher, what is the greatest thing we can do? What's the most important of the commands? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like this, you shall love your neighbors as yourself. So Jesus, He summed it up for us right here. He gave us the first mission statement of the church right here. He said, all right, all this doctrine, all these things that's been taught in the Old Testament, now the New Testament is coming to life and what's happening here. Jesus, there's all this is written, the law, the prophets, the law of old, and now you're bringing in this New Testament teaching. What's really the important thing? And they were trying to trick Him into saying some things, and He simply said, you know what, let me just tell you what's the greatest thing that you can do. Let me sum up the Bible for you. Let me sum up God's Word. Let me sum up the passion of God's heart. It's simply that you love Him with everything in you. That you genuinely love the Lord. You passionately love Him. And there's a passion in your heart. Listen, you can't love somebody with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and not be passionate about it. There's a passion that comes when you love that way. And so we want to see people passionately loving God. We want to see people who are passionately falling in love with God. And then He says the second greatest thing you can do is learn to love your neighbor as yourself. And that's a tough thing, isn't it? It's a tough thing. We can talk about doctrine and theology, and we can talk about, you know, the major and minor prophets. We can talk about the law, and we can talk about the new law. But listen, it all comes down to this. Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Because if you learn to love your neighbor as yourself, the rest of things will begin to line up. Other things, when you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, and you learn to love the people you're in contact with every day, have a genuine compassion for them, have a genuine love in your heart for them, then other things will begin to line up in your life. The laws and the teachings of Christ and these other things will begin to come alive in your life, and they'll begin to line up in your life. But first of all, we got to start by saying, God, I got to love you. And so we want to see people passionately in love with God. We want to see people who have a genuine love for their neighbor. Not just your next door neighbor, but the neighbor at Walmart, the neighbor at your school, the neighbor at your college, the neighbor at your work, the people across the world who have never heard the gospel. You genuinely love people, and we have a genuine love for people, and we want to share God's news. We want to share the good news of the gospel to others because there's a genuine love for people. And we see this, and of course, the last part to teach others to do the same is the Great Commission, the last thing that the Father told us. When Jesus left in Matthew 28, He said, and Jesus came and He spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. So the last thing He told us to do was to go and to make disciples. That's what we're commanded to do. He says, hey, let me tell you, this is what I want you to do. I'm leaving here, but this is what I want you to do. This is the commission that we have. This is the command that we have, that we're called to make disciples. The church is called to make disciples. We're never called to run a country club. We're never called to build the prettiest building in the world. We were called to make disciples. There's nothing wrong with great ministries. There's nothing wrong with great buildings. But the focus should always, and the end should always be about making disciples. We should always be about loving God, loving our neighbor as ourselves, and teaching other people to do the same thing. Teaching other people that, man, God has a relationship He wants you to live in. And teaching other people to reach out and to give yourself away to others, to serve others, to love others. That's what it's about. So we're making it very simple. When people ask you, what is Destiny Church Vision about? We want to be passionate lovers of God. We want to be genuine lovers of people. And we want to teach others to do the same. We should all be able to memorize that and know that. If somebody asks you what's going on down there, what's your goals, what's your vision, what's your mission, what's your purpose, whatever that comes in, you can just throw it all in the same basket right here. I don't know a lot, but I can tell you this. I know that we want to be passionate lovers of God. And we want to genuinely love people. And we want to teach others to do the same. It's based out of those scriptures that Jesus said, these are the very important things I want you to remember and I want you to consider and I want you to apply to your life. And so today in that, we're going to start the series and be going to talk about some of these things. As we talk about passionately loving God, I want to talk to you about this thought about how to grow your love for God. How to grow your love for God. Because bottom line is that God longs to have this relationship with you that is passionate. If I could sum up the Christian life and the purpose of the Christian life in two words, it would be love affair. That God longs to have a love affair with you and I. That God longs to have a love affair with you and I. And that's what he's longing for us, is he is wanting us to enter into this love relationship with him. And God has always put you as the object of his affection. Scripture teaches that, we are the object of God's love. We are the object of his affection. And today, so how do we do this? I want to give you some practical things, some very practical things on how to grow your love for God. The first thing I want to talk to you, how do you grow your love for God? Number one, expressing my love for God by what? By singing to him. By singing to him. Now, some of you here today say, Pastor, well, we had a lot of songs this morning we were singing. And we sang a long time. I say, good, we did that on purpose, because today we believe that as we sing to the Lord, we're engaging in his heart. As we sing to the Lord, that we are passionately falling in love with him. Now listen, how many know that music goes along with the heart, doesn't it? Come on, how many's ever fell in love before? Some of you are like, is that a trick question? Okay, I don't know. You remember when you fell in love, and man, those songs you had, you know, your song, you had your song. Justin, you remember making those mixtapes? You know what I'm talking about, okay. If you were old school, you had mixtape, okay. I've lived through all of them. I had the mixtape and the mixed CDs, okay. Now we just make it on the iPod mix. We got it all good together. But, you know, you had these mixtapes, and, you know, because love goes along with music. And there's something about the heart that engages in music. And today we know that when you want to grow in your love to God, you learn to sing to him. You want to grow in your love to God, you learn to sing to him, not just at church, but throughout the week. Every day, your heart should be, God, I want to sing to you. I want to hear songs of love to you. I love to, you know, every once in a while, I'll do something romantic and make my wife those you know, Valentine's. I'll make her a love CD, a love songs, you know, songs when we were dating, or songs we first fell in love together with and given to her, so we remember how we first romanced and how we first fell in love. It's a great thing, because it kindles those flames, man. It kindles those thoughts and those emotions. We remember those times when we're dating. And there's something about music that engages the heart. God is wanting you and I to do this. You know, the scripture says it right here in Psalms 147:7. Sing out your thanks to him. Sing praises to our God. This is something that we are commanded all through Scripture, that we are called to sing out a praise to the Lord. We're called to sing out praises to him. Well, Pastor, I just don't like to sing. Well, I say, well, you're going to be very bored in heaven then. Because we're going to be doing a lot of worshiping in heaven. We're going to be doing a lot of singing in heaven. We're going to be doing a lot of worshiping. And I tell you this, because we are called to sing unto the Lord. He has called us. Well, Pastor, I just don't have a good voice. And you're in luck, because the scripture says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And some of you here today, when you sing, it sounds like noise, okay? But the good thing is this, it's not about the noise, if it's on key or off key. We'll let those who sing on key, we'll let them sing in the mic. And the rest of us, we'll just make a joyful noise, okay? We'll join in joyfully, we sing unto the Lord. And when you're in the car and nobody's around, and you put that CD on, listen, nobody can hear you. You just sing the top of your lungs, man. You're going down the road. You know, you let it go, man, let it rip. And the people next to you think, man, that person is singing away. You know, that's okay, because you're singing unto the Lord. Engage in him every day. Sing to the Lord. Start off your morning. Put some worship in your car. Put some worship in your CD player. Put songs of love to the Lord. Come out and say, God, today I want to love you. Today, Lord, I want to learn to passionately fall in love with you. I want to learn new songs. And, you know, isn't it amazing over the I guarantee over the last 10 years, there's been more worship songs written in the last 10 years than have been written in the previous 500. Do you realize that? I read a stat the other day and talked about it. There's been more worship songs written and produced in the last 10 years than have been written in the last 500 before that. And I began to think about that. I thought, why is that? What is that? And this is just my own thought here. You don't have to bank this into your own theology. This is just my personal opinion. I believe this, that we are the brides of Christ. You realize that? that he is what? He's the groom, and he's called us the bride. That's what he calls us in Scripture. He says that the church is the bride of Christ, and he's the groom. And I wonder if not this revival of worship is taking place, it's not the Lord serenading us. It's not the Lord serenading his people, preparing his heart, because the groom is returning very soon. That the groom is returning very soon, and he's getting ready for that marriage to take place, that marriage feast of the Lamb, that place where we go and we're united with him. I just wonder if it's not this revival of worship is taking place. It's not God speaking to us and grooming us and calling us near, saying, listen, let your passion for me grow strong. Let the fire in your heart grow strong for me, because my return is near. May your mind be focused on me. May your heart be focused on me. May your passion for me grow. That's just a food for thought. You can think about that, and you can digest that in your mind and your spirit, and let God speak to you at what he would want in that statement. But I believe that there's something that happens when we engage in singing. Number two, we grow in our love of God by just simply talking to him. We call that prayer, and as a Christian, we call that prayer, but really it's simply stating this, talking to him. Psalms 116 says, I love the Lord because he hears and answers my prayers, because he bends down and listens. I will pray as long as I have breath. Now, I admit I'm a slow learner at times. I don't always get it. And when I first got married, I didn't get this right off the bat. But I've learned after almost 16 years, right, babe? Is that correct? Am I right? Okay, almost 16 years of marriage. I think there. Almost 16 years of marriage, I've realized that communication is a big part of successful marriages. Okay, isn't that true? We all know that. All the guys say amen. Okay, guys, let me say, all the guys say amen. I'm trying to get you some brownie points here, okay? Follow me. Stay with me. And so I've learned over time that communication is such a big ingredient in proper communication, you know? We were communicating when we were young, but communication was not very good, was it? You know, my way of communicating and her way of communicating were totally opposites, you know? I could listen to you and watch SportsCenter and talk on the phone and something else and all that. You know, I can be listening to you, so to speak. But her way of communication was, look at me in the eyes, turn down the TV, listen to me, talk to me, you know. And so I'm learning over time that communication, you know, this is a big part of marriage. So listen, it's a big part of anything. If you want to have a relationship with God that is real and is growing, you got to learn to communicate to him every day. If you want your marriage to work out, you better communicate to your spouse every day. If you want your relationship with God to grow, you better learn to communicate to God every day. God, today I love you. God, today I need you. God, today this is what's going on in my life. As I head to work, this is what I'm going to face. These are the challenges that I have. And so I'm learning to communicate to God every day. And this big thing happens that we learn to communicate. You can't help but grow when you communicate to people, isn't it? When you sit down and you communicate to people, you grow in that relationship. It's a natural process. If we go to lunch today and we talk and we communicate eye to eye, our relationship's going to grow. We're going to find out more about each other. We're going to find out things that, you know, we didn't maybe know. And our communication, as it elevates, so does our relationship. And so if you want to grow in your love for God, learn to communicate to him every day, which leads us to the third point. We got to learn to, we grow by listening to him. Learning to listen to him. John 10:14 says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me, and they listen to my voice. Now listen, listening is one of the greatest gifts you can give somebody, is learning to listen to them. One of the greatest gifts you can give to anybody is learning to listen to them and listen to what they have to say, whether it be a spouse, whether it be your children, whether it be a friend. I mean, when you give your ear to somebody and you listen to what's going on in their life, that's a great statement of respect to them. That's a great statement of commitment to them. It's a great statement that you are genuinely interested in what's going on in their life. And so it's a big thing to listen to somebody. Let me say the prayer, that 50% of prayer is talking. 50% of prayer is God talking to God about what you're going through, about some things you have in need of in your life, things you want to help in, talking to God about how great he is, okay? That's half of prayer. But the other part of half of prayer is about being quiet and listening. Let me say that again. The other half of prayer is being quiet and listening. How would it be in your home if you came home and you did all the talking? And you're home, I believe that, John. I don't know for some reason. Just like, if we had did all the talking, what would happen? And our spouse would, after a couple of days, would be like, shut up! Let me get a word in! Let me talk! You know? And so, it doesn't happen. There's not proper growth in a relationship when one person is doing all the talking. Ladies, hear what I'm saying. There's not proper growth in a relationship when one person is doing all the talking. Now listen, there's not proper growth in your spiritual relationship with God when one person is doing all the talking. If you're always talking to God, God, I need this. God, I want this. God, can you do this? God, help me here. God, help me there. And sometimes God's like, wouldn't that great sound effect? I love that. Yeah. Those of you listening on the internet, he's like, Merry Christmas. That was a good gift for you. Okay. So God's like, be quiet. Put your hand over spiritual. Put your hand over. Be quiet. Can you listen to what I want to tell you? If you just listen, maybe I'll answer your prayer. Maybe I'll speak to you. I have a 9-year-old says, Dad, how does he speak to you, man? I'm like, you just gotta be still. You just gotta listen. Because I try, but man, he's just not saying anything, you know? I'm like, well, does he ever speak to you? He speaks to you many times in your heart. He'll give you a feeling. He'll give you direction. He'll begin to tell you a piece about something in your life. Oh, okay, it makes sense, you know? And we have to be still at times and listen to what God's saying. You want to grow in your relationship with God? Then you got to learn to listen. Because he's speaking. He says, the sheep will what? They will know his voice. He's the great shepherd. We're called the sheep. He says, if we are a Christian, that we will know his voice as a shepherd. You're not going to know his voice if you're not being still. You're not listening. But God is speaking. And I will tell you this. God is not only speaking, but he will speak to you every day of your life if you allow him to. You mean God's concerned about the little things? Yeah, God's concerned about the little things. God's concerned about your job. He's concerned about your children. He's concerned about your finances. He's concerned about the things you're going through in your marriage. He's concerned about all those things. And if we'll be still and not only pray and ask, but be quiet and listen to a response, he will speak to your heart. He will lead you. And as you mature, he'll speak to you even about more things. He'll tell you, hey, there's a reason why I'm asking you to do this. You may always go to this Walmart, but I'm asking you to go to the other Walmart today. And you don't even know why. And you get there and you run into somebody you hadn't seen in years. And they begin to tell you about a problem they're going through. And you begin to tell and pray for them, talk to them. Pretty soon you're like, man, what was the odds of me running to that person at this side of town? I mean, God will lead you if you're listening. God will direct you if you're listening. But many times we're doing all the talking. We got to be quiet. Half of praying and growing a relationship is learning to listen to God. Number 4. We grow in our relationship with God by publicly identifying with him. By publicly identifying with him. Mark 8:38 says, if anyone is ashamed of me and my teachings, then I will be ashamed of him when I come to the glory of my Father. Now, many people here today, I've met some Christians like this, and maybe you know what I'm talking about. I've met some Christians that their theme song should be this right here. Quiet. Christians I've met in my life that kind of had this as a theme song, and you say, that's a cool theme song. Yeah, that's my theme song. No, I'm talking about you're undercover because nobody around you knows you're a Christian. That's kind of rough, isn't it? Yeah, that's real good. Yeah. Nobody around you really knows you're a Christian because you have never publicly identified with him. You call yourself a Christian, but we never have publicly identified. We have never made a public statement of our faith. We've never been publicly baptized. We've never done anything that publicly says that I'm a Christian. At our work, well, Pastor, I just don't want to offend nobody at my work, so I don't say anything because I believe that, you know, we got to keep things, you know, politically correct. And listen, you don't have to go around with a megaphone, but listen, when you're a Christian, it comes out of who you are. Your actions should say I'm a Christian. Your words should say I'm a Christian. The things you do should say, I'm a Christian. Without you having to preach it, your life should be the testimony of it. And for too many people that we have seen that are just so shy and timid when it comes to their faith, and I say, if you're a Christian, you want to grow in your relationship with God, then you got to learn to publicly identify with him. How would it be today If you went to your spouse when you first started dating and said, "Hey, I want you to marry me." Oh, and you propose. You said, "But we got to keep it a secret. We're going to get married, okay, but no one can know. So when we go shopping, we have to take two different cars. We can't go to the same place. When we go to church, you sit over here, and I'll go to a different church. At Christmas time, you go to your parents, and I'll go to my parents. You know, we'll do this. Never be seen in public together." Ladies, what would you say to that man? Hasta la vista, baby. You're gone, man. No way. Just no way. You would never allow someone to treat you that way, would you? You were like, for some reason, either you are already married and trying to play me for a fool, or you are very ashamed of me. And so you would know that something was going on, and it really is not someone who wants to love you. And so there's this public identification that comes and says, you know what? I want to publicly be identified with you. And there's the same thing in our marriage to Christ, that we have to publicly identify with him. And when we do that, we're saying, "God, I love you. God, I'm not ashamed of you. God, I'm not ashamed of what you've done in my life. God, I'm not ashamed of your grace and mercy. God, I'm not ashamed that you've healed my body. God, I'm not ashamed that you forgive me my sins. God, I'm not ashamed of you." And there's a public identification that comes. And when we learn to do this, we are learning to grow in our relationship with God. Number five, we grow by being committed to him. Being committed to him. I like what Romans 12:1 says, "Take your everyday, ordinary life, you're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him." Being committed to him means that you are taking and intertwining it in every area of your life, God's grace and his mercy. Let me give you the statement. It's not on your overhead, but you can write this down if you want. Weak people are defined by their circumstances. Weak people are defined by their circumstances. But strong people are defined by their commitments. Isn't that good? Strong people are defined by their commitments. You can let your circumstances define you the rest of your life. "I'm this way because my parents did this. I'm this way because somebody did this to me. I'm this way because I never got the breaks I needed. I'm this way because so-and-so did this to me. I'm this way because my spouse treated me this way. I'm this way." I mean, you have all these circumstances, and we allow our circumstances to define who we are. But strong people will say, "You know what? But I'm committed. I'm committed. I'm committed to the process. I'm committed to God." And strong people allow their commitments to define them. Strong people allow their commitments to define them. "I'm committed to the cause. I'm committed to Christ. I'm committed. I'm committed. I'm not going to give up because I'm in this commitment. I've made a commitment to Christ because he died for me. He gave his life for me. And no matter what I go through in my life, I am not going to give up on God. I'm not going to give up my relationship with God. I'm committed to this relationship." And as you make commitments to God, you grow in your relationship to him. Nothing significant ever happens without commitment. Someone had to be committed somewhere. Somebody had to be committed somewhere for something great to happen. Great things happen when people are committed. And when I tell you what, when you are committed to God and you make that commitment, you know what? I am planting my feet just like a tree planted by the waters, allowing my roots to grow deep. I'm not going to be moved. Come hell or high water, I'm not going to be moved. I'm going to stand my ground. Nothing is impossible to God. God's going to see me through. I'm committed to the process. I'm committed to the growing pains. I'm committed to the birthing pains. I'm committed to the ups. I'm committed to the downs. I'm committed. I'm committed. As I do that, I'm defining, I'm growing in my relationship to God. That God, no matter what I go through in my life, if I have to go through walk through what Job walked through, then so be it. God, I am committed to you. It's a commitment. And these commitments help us grow in our relationship with God. And in closing today, the last thing, how do we show and grow in our relationship with him and our love for God? By giving to him. Isn't it good? Simply by giving to him. How do you spell love? Someone tell me, how do you spell love? L-O-V-E, right? Isn't that how you spell love? No, wrong. I believe you spell love by G-I-V-E, give. Because you can say you love me all you want to, but I want to see it. I want to see it in action. And you see it in action by giving. When you're married, you can say you love me all you want to, but when you start giving of yourself, and you start not being selfish and you say, I want to give of who I am. I want to give my dreams, and I want to give and see your dreams accomplished, and I want to see the things you want. You're giving to each other, and you're letting go of selfish things in your life. It proves that you love that person. Same thing with God. When we learn to give to God, we're saying to God, God, I'm putting my money where my mouth is. God, you talk about money, I'm talking about your time, your talent, and your treasure. God has asked us for those things because it proves my love. When I spend my time with my wife, when I'd rather be maybe on the golf course, or I maybe want to do some other things, so I say, honey, let's you and I just go out this afternoon. Let's go down to Rogers and eat a P.F. Chang's, and we like to do that. We love P.F. Chang's. Let's go down there and eat today because I just want to spend time with you. I'm proving my love to her. It's something of giving. It's a giving thing. I give to her of my time. I give to her my talents. I give to her my treasure. I'm proving my love to her. God wants the same thing. God wants our time. He wants you to give you her time. That's why Sunday mornings are important. We set aside. God, you are important to me. That's why I spend my time with you, because you are important to me. God wants my time. He wants my talents. He wants you to use his giftings for his glory. Give him his giftings. He wants your treasure. He wants your offerings, because he knows that your offerings represent your heart. He knows that our treasure represents our heart. And where your heart is, he knows that your treasure is going to be there. And so he wants us to give to him. I believe today that God is wanting you to fall in love with him like you never had before. I believe that the call of our church, Destiny Church, is to call people to genuinely love God. That you fall in love with God so much that you say, you know what, Pastor, every day, I just want to be with God. Every day, I want to be with God. Travis, you and I had a great conversation this week at lunch. We talked about this very statement. He says, man, God's just, he's just giving him a new love for God's word. And this is a new love for God. He's growing. He says, since I've been in Destiny, he says, like, God is just really pushing me to just know him in a real way. And I'm like, yes, Travis, you're right on target. You're right where we want to be, because I believe every one of us, God is wanting that passion to grow in our heart for him. That you long to be with him. That you long to study who he is. You long to hear his words. You long to be committed to him. You long just to sing to him. You long just to say, God, I want to give to you who I am. I want to give what you've given me. I want to give back to you to be used for your kingdom. It's this passion that drives me. When my wife and I first started dating, man, I was a nut, man. I did stupid things because I was loved, but was blinded to me, man. I was blinded by love. You know what I'm talking about? You know, you're doing stupid things, and you're doing things you never thought you would do because, why? Because I was in love, man. Passion was driving me. That's the way it should be in our relationship with God. The passion should drive me, that I want to long just to sing to him. I want to long to be with him. I want to long to know who he is. I want to long to know God in the real way. And my heart's desire as your pastor is the vision of our church that everyone here would learn to passionately love God. If there would be a passion that would rise in your heart, just say, Pastor, I just want to know God more. I want to know who he is. I want to hear what he has to say about me and my life. I want to hear his will for my life. I want to get into God's dream for my life. I want to see God's will in my life. I want to know who he is. I want to hear what he has to say. I want to know him in the real way. I want the passion to burn strong. I want the fire to burn strong. I'm going to close with this video in just a second. This is the video I showed the very first service we ever had in this building. I showed this video. It talks about a little boy who loved his father so much, and his father never loved him. And it was through that process that he learned how much God really loved him. I want to show this video, then we'll close out.
He can't remember the times that he thought, does my daddy love me? Probably not. But that didn't stop him from wishing that he did. Didn't keep him from wanting or worshiping him. Guess as he saw him about once a year, he can still feel the way he felt, standing in tears, stretching his arms out as far as they'd go, and whispering, "Dad, I want you to know I love you this much, and I'm waiting on you to make up your mind. Do you love me too? However long it takes, I'm never giving up, no matter what. I love you this much." Hate him for what he had done. 'Cause what kind of father could do that to his son? He said, "Damn you, Daddy." The day that he died, the man didn't blink, but the little boy cried. Sang a hymn. He looked up above the preacher and he sat and stared at him. And he said, "Forgive me, Father," when he realized that he hadn't been unloved or alone all his life. His arms were stretched out as far as they'd go, nailed to the cross for the whole world to know. This much.
I'm here today to tell you that God loves you that much, and He longs to have that love affair with you. He longs to have that love affair with me. And today, God is wanting someone to love Him passionately. He's looking for people who will love Him passionately because He's wanting to love you back. We were created by our Father to love. He created you so He could give you this love and attention. Nothing that your parents could ever give you, but I mean, beyond what you could ever dream or imagine, God is longing to have that relationship with you. A Father who will never leave you, will never forsake you, but I'll have a daily walk with you. And our relationship with Christ is all about His love for us, that He died on the cross to prove it. And gave us grace. And today He stands there with His arms wide open, waiting to love you, waiting to embrace you. He's not standing here today with a hammer, waiting to bop you in the head. He's standing with His arms wide open, waiting to love you, to forgive you, to bring you grace and mercy, to walk with you every day, hand to hand, to walk you in this life of Spirit-filled living. He sent His Spirit to walk with us, to guide us. The question is, what kind of relationship do you want to have with God? Do you want to grow it, or do you want it just to grow stagnant? My heart's desire that it would be passionate burning in your heart, that you want to grow your relationship with God today. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. Every head bowed this morning. I always like to give a chance for those who maybe be here just today and say, "Pastor, I need to accept God's love in my life today to the point where I need to ask Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior of my life. I've never done that before. Or maybe I've done it in the past, but I've been so far away from God. Today I want to come and just kind of give a rededication and my heart to God. If you're here today and say, Pastor, I want to ask Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life. I would not embarrass you in any way, but can you just raise your hand with nobody looking but me and say, Pastor, that's me. I want to accept Jesus Christ today. It's my Lord and Savior. Thank you. Anybody else today? That's me. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to give you the opportunity. Anybody here today, you can raise your hands. That's me, Pastor. I want to do that. You want to join this other person today who's raised their hand and say, I want to, thank you. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you for that hand. Anybody else, you want to join these two today who have raised their hands so they want to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? Anybody else today, you want to raise your hand? Say, that's me, Pastor. We had two people who raised their hands today. And so I want us all just to repeat this prayer, especially those who raise your hands. I want you to pray this and mean it today. Let's say this prayer. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you everything I am. I give to you. I receive your love. I receive your forgiveness. Be Lord of my life. I will live for you. Amen. Today, if you prayed that prayer, we say, welcome to the family of God. Amen. Yes. If you prayed that prayer today, we have a special pack in the back that has a new Bible and some other material in there we want to give you. Just as what to do next, tell us some next steps and things you need to do about plugging in and finding out what God has for your life. Those are at the very back table to my left back there. We have those for you. Make sure you pick those up on your way out today. We say welcome to the family of God. I'm going to invite you to stand with me today. I'm going to close out. If all of us looking around, how many today say, Pastor, I want to be a passionate lover of God? Anybody here today, you're just challenging, Pastor, I want to be a passionate lover of God. Man, isn't that strong, man? I want to passionately love him. I want him just to rock my world. You know what I'm talking about? You just want God just to rock your world where you feel his love in such a great way and you're learning to grow in him. Man, I believe this year, man, God's going to do something in your life. This is our heart's desires. We're pushing people and training people and teaching people that we want you to fall in love with God. Fall in love with his grace, his mercy, his being, who he is, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. We believe today that God has got something great for you. And it starts with this passion to know who he is, this passion to grow and to love him, to express your love for him today. I want to pray for you today in closing, and let's just raise our hands as a sign of a surrender to him. When we raise our hands, Scripture talks about when we come in, we raise our hands in the sanctuary. It's just a simple sign of saying, God, I surrender. You know, if someone come and stick a gun in your back, what's the first thing you do? You raise your hands. I give up. I surrender. The same principle. God, I surrender to you. God, I give you my life. Lord, today I pray for everybody here this morning, Lord, especially those who raised their hands, who said they want to be passionate lovers of you. God, I pray in our heart that, God, you would spark a new passion, God, a kindle in our heart, Lord, a new passion to know who you are, to love you, that, God, you would spark a new love affair in our life, to know you in a greater way, to know your love in a greater way, to hear your voice, to live for you, to publicly commit to you, to identify with you, to sing to you, to give to you. God, today we're making statements of faith today and saying, God, we want to be passionate lovers of you. I pray for every person here, especially those who are raising their hands right now, Lord. I pray that, God, through your Holy Spirit today, that there would be a passion, a genuine passion, not for religion, but for a relationship with you, Jesus. Because it's a relationship that changed my life. It's a relationship that brings change, that brings growth. Religion is man's made attempt to get to you. And God, we can never do it on our own. But through a relationship with you and your son, Jesus, you supernaturally, spiritually bridge the gap and bring me into right fellowship with you. And so I pray that that relationship will be kindled with a passion, with a fire, that God, we can't do anything without our day without wanting to express our love for you, without wanting, Lord, to sing to you, without wanting to hear your voice, without wanting to please you, because our love for you is growing deeper every day. Lord, I pray as a pastor here at Destiny, that God, and in my heart, that you would allow that to be so. That God, I would want to fall in love with you more and more each day. And that as I do that, God, it would overflow to other people, God, that people want that same thing in their life. And Lord, we would want to fall in love with you every day more. I want to know you more every day. I want to feel you more every day. I want to hear you more every day. I want to talk to you more every day. God, I pray that our passion for you would grow. Our love for you would be passionate as we continue, Lord, to love you with all of our mind, with all of our heart, and with all of our soul. Let me say this morning, amen and amen. God bless you today. You have a great week. We'll see you Wednesday night. Make sure you're getting plugged into a small group. If you need directions, there's a back table. You can find directions to some of those small groups.